Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You are listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening, welcome to episode 106 of the LA Rams UK podcast, pushed it all the way. I'm John, and joining me as always is Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. You know, we lost, but, you know, it was I hate to say a good loss, but that was what it was, you know. And, you know, things go our way, we could be having a good discussion this week.
So close, but so far, wasn't it, mate?
Yeah, it was.
We'll get into that further soon enough. And also joining Andy and I this evening is Matt. Matt, how are you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Cheers, buddy. How are you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, living the dream now. It's this close to Christmas. Ready to go?
Don't mention that word. I've got nearly 2 weeks before I have to buy the wife a present. It's a tradition for me. I do it on Christmas Eve.
That's a strong move right there. Love
that. Old school, that is.
Yeah.
Old school fucking move. So Matt joins us this evening, folks. Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from, and how long you've been a Rams fan?
So currently I live in Cardiff. I met my wife in 2007. I was in the military at that point. I just come back from Afghanistan, where I was wounded. That's an old other story. So I met my wife, and she has quite a large American family situated between Chicago and St. Louis. So when we got married, 20 of them came over for our wedding, and we got to meet them all for the first time. Welcome to the wedding. And then a year later, we went over to Chicago and St. Louis to go and see them at home, as it were. And they took us all around St. Louis, and we kind of bypassed through Chicago as a hub for the airport. But whilst we were there, I was offered the tickets to go and see Mizzou play, who are a college team. So I went there. And it was just blown away by the sheer scale, the pageantry, the atmosphere, everything going on at that time. And it really kind of lit a fire in me. And I was like, you know what, this is pretty cool. So when we flew back home, I kind of sat down and looked at it. And I looked, well, Becca's got lots of family in St. Louis. She's got family in Chicago, but we only ever go to Chicago as for the airport. So we're only there for a little bit. So I then looked at the teams, Bears, Rams, Bears, Rams, and the obvious choice was the St. Louis Rams. So that would have been 2012 when we were in the dome in St. Louis. And my reasoning was, well, the Rams are there. If we go over, I'll try and engineer a late year visit so we can go and see them and go and see the Rams. And then they kindly upsticked and moved to LA.
Yeah.
But I love it. I absolutely love the sport. I used to watch it when I was a kid back in the late 80s, early 90s, when it was on Channel 4, and the Dolphins were the big team of the time. And I kind of moved away from it as I got older, but then went to see Mizzou play, and it was literally like flicking a switch. It's brilliant. I absolutely adore it. And it was really handy with the hours that it's on. When my youngest was teething and that type of stuff, and up in the night, I could take her downstairs, put the TV on, watch some football and feed, or just, you know, soothe. And it was a win-win situation. If I was up, I could watch the football.
Do you know, that's one thing they don't tell you about becoming a parent. If you're an American football fan in the UK, it's one of the best things ever, because nighttime feeds just fit in perfectly with like Sunday and Monday night football, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It was a dream, really.
So, quick question. Was there any chance of you becoming a Bears fan?
No.
Good. Right answer.
Absolutely not.
You can stay on the pod now. It's good.
That's good. No. Another reason that Matt joins us this evening, folks, for those that are in the Discord server, you will have known, because this man, jam as he is, has been sending us hundreds and hundreds of pictures and videos, because Matt was recently out in LA for the Browns game. So we invited Matt on to basically talk about his experience. So, Matt, the floor's yours. How was your trip to LA?
My trip was unbelievable. I was only there for 4 or 5 days, but I had an absolute blast. when I booked the flights back in May, I kind of was looking at the schedule at the time I was booking them, and I was looking at games and then trying to work it out between the holidays to find the cheapest flights. And then I saw the Browns game and I was like, you know what? That should be a win for us. So I was like, boom, going to book that. Message my uncle. I was like, I'm coming over. And that's when I booked my flight. So that was May time. As a top tip, if you ever anyone's thinking of going over, I would definitely look at the sales. I booked my ticket. I flew American Airlines, but booked my ticket through British Airways as they had a sale on. So it was much cheaper to do that than book through the American Airlines direct, which is wild. But that's what I did. And also, if you really want to go out there on the cheap, you can go hand baggage only. So you can get out there for like 400 quid return, which is not bad at all. Anyway, the flights I had were like an 11:15. So I landed mid-afternoon into LAX, which was a brilliant airport. I sailed straight through. I was probably 20 minutes in the queue for passport control and out the other side. It was really, really quick. I was blown away, actually, how fast it was. My uncle picked me up and then took me back to his place. But spooling on to Sunday, got up, put on all my regalia, including my lucky shoes. I don't know if I've got a set of LA Rams trainers that I wore. I did put them a photo up in the Discord server before I left. But if not, I can put it up again if no one saw it. They are a special type of shoe. For a person. Not gonna lie. We've driven to SoFi, and the stadium just kind of pops out of nowhere. It's almost like the Spurs ground. It just appears when you're walking down a road to Spurs. You think, oh my god, where is this stadium? And then it just up it pops. Whereas SoFi, it's in Inglewood, so it's quite a rough area of LA, Inglewood. It's not the best. But it's right next to a massive indoor arena called the Kia Center. So there's oodles of parking for those of you that may or may not hire cars. But if you're going to book parking, book it in advance because it's not cheap. However, like everywhere else where there's a stadium, people are offering cheap parking for 40, 50 bucks for those few hours. There's signs everywhere. But caution would be the word. Because of the area that you're in, you want to take your brand new hire car to some dodgy car park in Inglewood for 40 bucks. That would be my advice for parking. Anyway, the stadium is insane. I've been to Twickenham, I've been to Wembley, I've been to the Principality, I've been to Spurs. I've been in a lot of stadiums, and there is nothing like that over here at all. Like the ground floor is like levels 4 or 5 of the stadium, so it's dug deep, it's dug down and is deep. So when we went through, when we arrived, there was a massive Rams sign, huge sign that you'd have your perfect photo opportunity. So clearly did that, and then my uncle had the ticket, so he took us round to Gate 6. Which, because my eyes were on stalks, I didn't realise was the VIP section. So he'd been gifted a couple of tickets from his boss for the VIP section of the stadium where we're at. So we had epic row 2 seats, which were amazing and super padded and cushy and spaced. I had a little beer holder, a great view of the field. So we went down and had a look at our seats, looked around the stadium. I was just blown away by the sheer size of it and how loud it is. It is not a quiet place. It is really, really loud. So if you're going to take kids with you, definitely take some ear defense, because at some points during the game, it was over 100 decibels, and that's loud. We had a look at our seats, and then we went away and we potted around the shops. I bought one of these. One each for my kids. Little Rampage.
One for yourself, surely.
My youngest isn't that interested, so I've stolen it.
Oh, wow.
I'll blame you.
$25 for that.
That's not bad.
So $50 for the pair. The shop in the stadium is expensive. They wanted $190 for a Puka shirt. And I was like, that's punchy. You know, you can buy one off Fanatics and get it sent over for cheaper than buying it in the stadium.
So and that would have been one of the game jerseys. That's not even like a Vapor, was it?
No, that's just your bog standard replica jersey. And I was like, no, that's insane. Really, really expensive. But as we went in, I forgot to say, everyone was given one of these towels. I don't know if you can see that, but...
What's this under the skull? Crossbones can't quite make out.
One peg. I think there was a definitive pirate theme to all the announcements on the screen with the game. There was pirates everywhere, all over the scoreboards and stuff during the game. So it was obviously some sort of sponsor or... Yeah, it says one piece. What do you reckon, guys?
Yeah, it looks like one.
Yeah, like piece. One piece. Yeah, yeah, it does look like one piece.
So yeah, that's what they were all over the place, but we were all given one of those, which was quite a nice touch, because then you could wave it around when it's third downs and stuff. So that was cool. After walking around the shops, I bumped into Sam Lagana. You know, stadium announcement. So I met him back in 2019 when I was at Wembley for the Rams. Bengals game, and I was pitch side because I was with the military. I was part of the colour party, so I was right on the pitch, and I was just bimbling around, looking at it and taking it all in. And I bumped into him, and we had a right old natter, and it turned out, and he told me he was with the Rams and that he did all the stadium announcements. I was like, that's pretty cool. So obviously follow him on Twitter or X or whatever it's called nowadays. Started messing him up, and then over the last sort of 6 months, been like, I'm definitely coming. I've booked and come to the Browns game. Hopefully, I might see you in a stadium. And as we were walking around the shop on the level 4, I turned round and he was there, and I was like, Sam, and he was like, Matt, and I was like, how are you? It was like really bizarre meeting as he was just taking in the atmosphere himself of the game. So that was quite cool. There was also a NFL, a Rams legend from the late 80s, and he spoke so fast for the life of me. I didn't get his name, but he was very chatty, and he was doing signings and photos and stuff. But that was kind of down in the VIP area, so unless you get those type of tickets, then you're not gonna see that. But there was plenty to do up on the upper concourse. You could get little buttons made up, get your face painted. All of that type of jazz was up there, which was quite cool. It was packed up there. It was absolutely rammed. We didn't go to the tailgate because my uncle didn't book any tickets for that because we had VIP tickets and stuff. Right. So that would be one thing I would like to do next time, is go to the tailgate. I've got mates who are Eagles fans, and they've been to Philly and done the tailgate, and they said it's incredible. It's like $60 all in. Drink as much, eat as much as you can in the space of 3 hours before the game starts. It can be worth it. So if someone's doing that, let me know what it's like, because I'd quite like to do it myself. The food and drink. Oh, it's punchy pricey. It is turbo expensive. Two pints of beer, two bottles of water in a special SoFi aluminum cup. $54.
I thought Norway was expensive for beer, but oh my lord.
I know. My eyes popped out when he turned and said, oh yeah, that's $54. I was like, for what? But... there we go. When in Rome, I was like,
"Deli, isn't it?"
Yeah, it is. Oh, SoFi is cashless. Everything is done by card. So just a top tip that if you're thinking you can buy stuff with money, with cash, then that ain't going to happen. You've got to take a card with you. So yeah, I bought the beers, yeah, two of them that I had for me and my uncle, and he went away and got some food, which cost just about the same. So two burgers and two chips was about $50. So it's really expensive, including tax and tip and this, that, and the other. However, the chips were probably the best chips I've ever had in a stadium. They were excellent, excellent chips. So the burger was pretty good as well, actually. So didn't begrudge. Well, I didn't buy it, so. But I wouldn't begrudge buying that if I'd been on my own or with my daughter or my wife. Yeah, the food was good. And you've got all lots of these seating areas everywhere. So we sat down, was busy scoffing away. And these Browns fans came down and sat next to us, and they couldn't be more Trump supporters if they tried. It was a really random, bizarre conversation that we had with them. And we were like, okay, then, see you later, as we sloped off to the left and then went back down to our seats, sat down and watched the players warming up. We were on our seats were by the Browns, Browns bench, so they were streaming out in front of us and the Rams were coming out the other side. But it's just incredible. So the atmosphere just grabs you by the scruff of the neck and pulls you straight in, and you're in hook, line and sinker. It's amazing. The cheerleaders were all out, and they have 6 to 8 cheerleaders on each corner. So literally they were right in front of us, and then they rotate round the stadium as things are going on. The players obviously were on the other sideline to us, but when they were coming up, you could see some of them were warming up in our part of the stadium, and you could see them, especially the O-line, were warming up there. You could see Rob Haverstein and stuff like that there, which is quite nice. I saw Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford going through some drills in the centre. I saw Carson Wentz. I still can't believe he's there. Boggles my mind slightly. yeah, on the whole, like the atmosphere to the start of the game was epic, and the stadium fills up really quickly. And what was nice, it's very much like the rugby. There's no separated areas. Everyone sits next to everyone else. So it's kind of that. It is a kind of fun atmosphere. And I didn't see any aggro at all. Any argy-bargy, anyone just being belted, is one of a better word. So that was quite nice. So if you were going to take your children, I would feel safe taking my kids to that environment, whereas I wouldn't feel terribly safe taking my kids to Cardiff City Stadium, for want of a better word, because it's just, you know, I worry about football fans and violence and hooliganism, whereas with the NFL, you do see some stuff online. But
yeah,
in that particular game, I didn't see anything, and it felt really safe that I would definitely take my kids with severe defence, because it was loud. But that 360-degree screen, what an item to have. What an amazing bit of kit, because it doesn't matter if you're right up in the sticks, right up in the gods, you can still see the screen because it's double-sided. So it's incredible. So if you're right up there, you can see exactly what's going on, or if you're right at the front of the stadium and you look up, you can see exactly what's going on, and you can see why the players look up at the screen for the replays, because it's like, it's just vast and it's so clear. So when they're looking up, you're looking up as well. You're like, oh yeah, I can see that false start, or I can see that holding call, or, you know, that pass interference and stuff. It's brilliant. And it just brings an added advantage to the game, because I was explaining to my uncle at the time. So I was like, right, if you look up at the screen now, you can see where he's being held, or you can see that he's being tough whilst he's running. It's really useful bit of kit, and allows the game to be viewed better, because even though we were quite close, you know, when the players are at the other end of the field, they're a mile away. So it's quite handy to look at the screen sometimes to see what's going on. The national anthem, I don't know, did anyone watch the game?
Yeah.
So the national anthem done was by this guy on the saxophone, which I wasn't expecting at all. And I was like, actually, this is a bit chip shop doing it with a saxophone, no singer. But in actual fact, it was really good, and everyone kind of bought into the fact that he was there with a saxophone playing the national anthem, and having a time of his life whilst doing it. Now that last note went on and on and on and on. And in the end, I think it ended up being a world record for the longest note held in a national anthem whilst being played. So that's probably why he did it. The roof was on. It's a retractable roof, I think. So it was covered. And that's what my uncle said, it's retractable. I'm not convinced, but it didn't feel hot and it didn't feel cold at all, given that we were there from mid-afternoon to early evening. And it was a very comfortable environment to be in for those 4 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the roof's retractable. I think what it is the sides can be lifted out to allow the sea breeze through. But I don't think the roof can actually be moved, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, it was a perfect environment to be in to watch football. And as I said, the seat was really comfy and it was wide, so you had plenty of room to... You didn't feel like you were like this to the person next to you that you can be if you're watching a rugby game. You know, you're cushed in. But we had lots of space. And the atmosphere was just amazing. And there were a fair few Browns fans there, more than I thought it was going to be. And they definitely made their voices heard with their dog barking and stuff. But yeah, it was just epic, absolutely epic. And you could tell towards as we scored in the fourth, when we had the interception, actually, that kind of put the nail in the coffin for the game. I had that interception and we scored again. Like, you could see Browns fans just streaming out at the end of the fourth quarter. And then what was quite funny, and I did find this highly amusing, is that with the fan cam, they then were centered in on Browns fans and they were all bawling their eyes out.
Rub salt in the wounds.
Yeah.
Did you have any, was there any halftime entertainment?
No, not there wasn't a concert, there wasn't a musician or anything.
Were you there the week? Was it the mascot game took place? I don't know if it was the week you were there.
Yes. Yeah, I caught the end of that because I disappeared off to the toilet and the queue was massive. And went on and on, but actually moved quite quickly for where we were. The queue was quite long for the facilities. But so by the time I queued up, had a pee and come back again, the game was just, the players were just coming back in, back onto the field. It was just epic. And I would highly recommend, if you're going to go look at tickets, look at seats, look at the flights. There is plenty of accommodation, dodgy motels all over the place near the stadium that you could potentially stay in for a night if you wanted to, or you could get an Uber back into town. There was loads and loads of Ubers and taxis outside the stadium at the end. They had it really well organized, as well as the usual people selling game day stuff that you could buy in here, scarves and t-shirts and this, that and the other. But as we were leaving, they were dishing out pennants.
Oh, very nice.
So everyone got one of those as well on the way out. So you came away with two bits of freebies.
Not bad. I looked up that one piece is an anime show.
Yeah, it's a manga comic.
Yeah, it's been going around since the late 90s by the looks of it.
Yeah, so all in all, the stadium was epic. There is nothing like that here in the UK. The atmosphere, the sheer size of it is just massive. Because where I was at the bottom, it just looking up, it was just vast. I know we've got big stadiums here, but this just seemed huge. And it's just an amazing stadium. I mean, I know it's brand new, $6 billion and all the rest of it, but they spent their money well. Everything was crispy clean and stuff. I know it's been around for a few years, but well worth a visit. Even if you're right up in the gods in the $30 ticket area, I think you'd still have just as good time as I did in row two. You might not see much of little people running around, but that's where you've got a massive screen in front of you. You can look at it. Sam was loud throughout the game. The third down screaming and shouting was loud all the way through. I know there's a lot of talk of not many Rams fans being there. It's always plugged out with other fans. But to me, it seemed it was a good 70-30 split, Rams-Browns. Because we're winning games of late, I think that's enticing more people in. And obviously the price of tickets will vary depending on which team is coming. So, you know, the seats I had were excellent, but I imagine that the seats I had for LA for 49ers game would probably maybe three or four times the price than a Browns game, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's really worth it. And then flying back, I took the 11:30 flight back from LAX at night. That aircraft was empty. The whole back of the aircraft was empty. People were moving back to sleep in the four rows at the back of the aircraft. So that would be my top tip coming back, is get the 11:30 flight. They serve food really quickly, then they leave you alone for the rest of it. So you could probably, if you're knackered like I was, I smashed out 5.5 hours sleep on the plane. So that would be my top tip. And Heathrow was a dream when I got through the other end. Took me longer to walk to the gate. It took me longer to walk to passport control than it did for me to get through it.
Oh, cool. So all in all, a good trip then?
Yeah. Contemplating, well, definitely going out for the Super Bowl in 2027. Since my uncle lives there. I clearly won't get tickets, but I can go and sit there. His neighbours are lovely. One's a Cowboys fan. I'm vomiting, juicing. But I'll sit there and watch the football on his massive TV in their garden. But awesome. Yeah, I think I'd like to do that for 2027.
Awesome. We'll get into that bit of news later on. But that's great, Matt. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Glad you had a good trip.
Recommend it to anyone. Look at it, price it up, and you can do it on the cheap if you really need to. There's ways and means of getting out there. As I said, hand baggage, 400 quid return. Book a year in advance if needs be. Take a punt. You can always move your flight and when the season comes out. So I definitely, anyone that wants to go, just go and experience it, because there's nothing, not even when the NFL comes to London, is it like that.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Get yourselves booked, get the bags packed, and get yourselves to LA. So, moving on, folks, from that positive report there we've had there, it's a tough one to say. It's kind of positive, but it's kind of negative as well. And that was the Week 14 loss against the Ravens. So the Rams travelled out east. We had a more reasonable kickoff time at 6 o'clock. We were on Sky Sports. And surprisingly, we pushed the Ravens all the way to overtime and unfortunately came out losing 37-31. Andy, initial thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I think, like I said, when I came on, you know, we don't want to lose. But, you know, if you'd have said to me, you know, last week before the game, we'd have pushed them to overtime and potentially could have, you know, snatched the win. That's all we could have asked for, you know, the season we're having. And it was only, unfortunately, one or two calls that should have been that weren't, you know. Again, refereeing discussion of how pants they are, you know.
Yeah.
We could have won this game.
Yeah.
You know, how that block in the back was not called for the, you know, punt return, I do not know. It was as blatant as anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really blatant and poor. It seems to be the key to this season. Every time you look online or you look at the NFL app or you're looking on NFL Network, there's another conversation about how poor the referees have been, how they're missing this, how they're missing that. You saw Patrick Mahomes lose his temper on the weekend for that call.
Yeah, in fairness, though, that guy was that far out offside. He may as well have been in the end zone waiting for the ball.
Very true. So, apart from the poor refereeing, Matt, what was your initial take on the game?
To be truthful, I was expecting we were going to get hammered. The Ravens are on fire this season. I'm still worried about our O-line and the protection of Stafford throughout games. But it worked last week against the Browns, and it worked again this week. I do think that we may have come on quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, and to push the Ravens all the way to the end and put 30 points on them is a positive step. The O-line seems to have got a grip of itself. I don't know whether that's been because players are now coming back from being injured, whether or not the rookies have had enough time to get their heads together and understand how it's played. I'm not sure, but there seems to be a bit more protection for Stafford now than there has been in the last month, certainly. A positive game with a rubbish result.
Yep.
It would be my overtake. It's nice to see Cooper Kupp getting back in the action. He seems to, he's probably had his confidence knocked. A couple of injuries late last season, early this season, not quite in the swing of things. The touchdown against the Browns has probably given him a bit more confidence, and then another one against the Ravens. It's nice to see Robinson get on the board, and there's not enough good enough words to talk about how amazing Puka is.
Yeah. Just on the topic of Kupp there, for the first time this year, Kupp led his in receiving with 115 yards off of 8 receptions. It's the first time this year where he's been our number one guy in the stats. But just as you said, Puka Nacua again, over 1,100 yards now for the season. Davis Allen with a touchdown. DeMarcus Robinson, as I said, getting on the board as well. Those were the kind of four main guys that Stafford targeted through the game. Thrown for 294 yards with 23 completions. 23 for 41 it was, so it was just about above 50%. Overall, going into this game, like you guys have both touched upon, I think we're basically, for lack of a better phrase, expecting to get absolute pummeled by the Ravens, especially with a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, who, despite him scrambling quite a lot and doing what he usually does against us, we did not bad to kind of contain him. I mean, well, saying that, he did rush against us for 70 yards. We'll take that back, maybe. All in all, this is the Ravens. It's in Baltimore. It was cold. It was wet. Not an easy place to go to. Just looking at the stats there, interesting that Odell Beckham Jr. was actually their leading receiver. And, of course, he was going to score a touchdown against us.
I think we said that last week, mate. It wasn't going to surprise us if he'd given off for 100 plus yards, a couple of touchdowns, and, you know, dunked all over us. But, you know, going back to your Lamar thing, we couldn't contain him, especially in the rushing. But how many times, you know, did we have chances to get him down, and he just made guys, he just, little juke, little flip, and he was gone. And, you know, even when people were getting their hands on him, he was just shrugging it off and just going anyway.
You know,
it is one thing I think we do struggle defensively throughout the years is mobile quarterbacks, which is surprising considering, you know, we've got Kyler Murray in our division, you know, that we've got to face twice a year. Yeah. But it is one of our, it's always been that weakness for us, I feel, that we just never seem to be able to contain them as well as we should do.
No, but what team has contained Lamar Jackson?
Like
you said, he's a proper twinkle toes on the field.
Oh yeah,
he's difficult to bring down, and I think any team realistically would struggle against him.
Only team I've ever seen successfully keep him in check is the Steelers. They seem to know how to keep the guy in check. So maybe we should look at their defense and say, right, how do they do it? And we'll try and copy.
Yeah, 100%. Let's steal their playbook.
Yeah,
I'll go out to Pittsburgh and do it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I know what you're saying about like comparing like Jackson and Murray as being a scrambling quarterback. I think because we come up against Murray twice a year, we've got his number, we know what he's going to do in spec, whereas Lamar Jackson, you can watch as many tapes as you want, but like you said, Andy, all it takes is that little juke, that little kind of adjustment by him and he's off. Mm. You know, we don't come up against guys like him that often that our players can get a good measure of him. Plus, he's quite frankly that good a quarterback as well that he's just, you could play him twice a year and you just could have no answer for him as well.
Yeah, let's be honest, the guy's up there, you know, I think he's now top three for MVP consideration, you know, so he's obviously, you know, and the guy has come along in his passing game this year as well. He looks more complete than he's ever, but like we say, you know, overall the game, you know, a couple of correct decisions going our way and, you know, maybe one dropped pass at the end, you know, to keep a drive going, and we could have walked away with this game.
Yeah.
That's positive for us.
When Kieran Williams is rushing for over 100 yards again, we're consistently getting over 100 yards of rushing, you know, from one guy, which in years gone by, like you're talking, you're going back to Todd Gurley, where we'd had like one running back who would consistently get us over 100 yards. Usually it's the 100 yards split over maybe two or three guys. So like Kieran Williams is definitely, especially against a team like the Ravens, right enough, Kieran Williams is definitely emerging as, like, you know, our answer at the running back in terms of grinding out the yardage for us.
Yeah. I actually saw someone put a comparison up. I think it was actually on the NFL website today, just earlier on. And he's basically, he called Williams a cut price McCaffrey.
Yeah, I can see
If that's what we're getting out of Kieran Williams, I'm happy with that. Yeah, I'm easily going to take that.
I could definitely see that. Like, he is very good at making players look stupid when he's on the move. And when he does get going, he turns those jets on. He is gone, like McCaffrey is. Let's hope so. It'd be nice to stuff the 49ers at the end of the season. Oh, God, that would be epic.
It will be, but the other thing with this game that I suppose it was maybe good, if you're a neutral, it was probably a good one to watch because the leads just kept changing. It was, you know, when you actually look at the, like, the scoring summary, it's basically just, it reads as if it's almost end-to-end stuff, basically. Yeah. So, I mean, from, like, you know, a neutral's point of view, it would have been a very good game to watch. How did you guys feel? It's 31-28 to the Browns. 7 seconds to go. Havrisik is lining up to tee this up. What was your thoughts on it, guys? Did you have concern that he was going to miss it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you said no, you'd be waffling. You'd be lying through your teeth.
Yeah.
He's just... I know he's a rookie, but he doesn't instill me with confidence. I'm really hoping that we do something in the off season and get a reliable kicker in, someone who you can rely on week in, week out to score those points. But yeah, Havrisik is not the dude, bless him. And being a kicker is a really difficult position to be in because you miss one kick and everyone is all over you like a tramp on chips.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, you're usually good with the stats in this, right? But see, looking at stats this week, he was 100% for all these kicks.
Yep.
This week. And I think it's the only week when he's made every kick he's made.
So maybe that us bringing in Crosby is sort of that bit of pressure behind his backside has maybe lit that fire and a spark under his backside to basically say. And the fact that we've also now cut Crosby obviously tells us maybe the coaches are feeling a little bit more confident with him. You know, kicker's one of those positions as well. It is one of those confidence positions. If your kicker's full of confidence, he's more likely to miss it. If his confidence is low, you do tend to find they do start. You know, we only have to look at Matt Gay when he got cut. It was the guy's washed, the guy's useless, the guy can't do anything. We signed him, he got a bit of confidence and, you know,
he was excellent.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying Havrisik can be Matt Gay, but maybe if he's got that confidence to, you know, keep going, he can do something.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, I still like us to sign another kicker.
I would
to give him competition and say, look, I am on your heels. If you don't play the game, then I will do what's required. Yeah. See you later.
Use up one of those spaces in the practice squad and just have somebody sat there.
So that
he does start missing, you know, we can sort of swap him out. But yeah, got to give the guy credit this week. He's responded to the pressure that he was under and, you know, has come out. And if this is what we're going to get out of him, then yeah, that's fine. But like you say, every time he comes up, you know, it's third down and we're bringing the kicker out, you're all of a sudden thinking, oh, is this, you know, is this about to be another shank kick? Yeah. Is this another one that's going to go? Even extra points at the moment, you're thinking, you know, even on an extra point, you're like, oh, is he going to make this? Even the extra points?
Oh,
you really?
Yeah, speaking of extra points, the one against the Browns, on the first touchdown that we had. First touchdown? Yeah, we went down the score. It looked like it had gone wide right. How they called that in was beyond me, because it looked like it had gone wide right as opposed to either through or over the top. But yeah, you just get that. You do get that. Is he going to miss it? Moment, yeah. Don't you?
Yeah, we do.
Considering the countless games that literally kick him down to how good your kicker is, like, you need confidence in that guy, be it for extra points or be it for field goals. And granted, he made a 51-yarder, you know, against the Ravens, you know, outdoors as well, and there would have been a bit of wind, you know, but you need that confidence there. But flipping over to the defense side, ignoring the fact that we gave up 37 points against the Ravens, is there anyone, and they'll come to you first, from the defence you want to highlight as playing well this week?
Yeah, you know, overall, obviously Witherspoon getting an interception, you know, that was nice to see, you know, and Byron Young getting another sack, which now puts him as the sack leader out of all rookies this year, you know, for a guy who was, you know, very much when he came out of college in the pundits, when we drafted him, he was a hit and miss, you know, it could be successful or he could be a complete wash because of his age and his history. Yeah. You know, so far he's been a good draft pick, you know, and like we've said before with the guy, you know, he may never be a, you know, number one star pass rusher, you know, Micah Parsons, Miles Garrett, but if we could get somebody alongside him on the other side, who is that number one, he's an ideal number two. You know, and I will say I've also noticed now we're not using Hoyt to drop back into coverage. They're using Byron Young. So they're using his athleticism now to actually help cover tight ends and running backs when they're slipping out. And he does seem to, on the whole, do a decent job of it. You know, so he seems to, again, he's another one, much like Kobe Turner, as the season's gone on, he's developing more. He's learning the position. He's learning the game. And he seems to each week look better and better as he's going.
Yep. Matt, anyone in the defence you wanted to highlight from this week?
Byron Young, definitely. He's a good prospect. I do like him. Yeast, like, they're all so young, and they're obviously learning their trade, and it's been a difficult season for the defence, especially in the secondary. But yeah, out of anyone, like Byron Young is good. Obviously, Aaron Donald, clearly legend that he is. but yeah, it's nice to see the defense working as a unit and working well. Raheem Morris is obviously working some magic back there, teaching all these youngsters and rookies how it works and what they need to do. And it takes time for it to happen. And I do feel that they're getting there. Kendricks just frustrates me so much. I just find that he's always like a bit like Marcus Peters, always looking for the big play, not doing what he should be doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I find that Marcus Peters, when we had him, he was looking for the interception. He was looking for the big star play rather than doing the nitty-gritty blocking and tracking and all the rest of it. And I just feel that Kendricks is in that position. I hope that he sorted his personal life out. And that concerns me, that we had a guy who was arrested for carrying an illegal weapon. I hope that they've got a grip of him and said, right, you need to pull your finger out. Yeah. But he does frustrate me big time. But the rest of them are doing really well for rookies. And I think we need to remember as a fan base that they are youngsters and they are learning their trade. And it's difficult coming into that stadium and B, the Rams, who are Super Bowl champions from a couple of years ago. You know, big steps as opposed to baby steps. So there's definitely been an element of you need to hit the ground running and we'll try and get you there. You need to listen to what you're being told.
For me, a couple of guys I wanted to highlight. First of all, it's Ernest Jones recording a sack against Lamar Jackson. Byron Young also for recording a sack against Lamar Jackson, which is an impressive feat. John Johnson for leading us in tackling this week. And also, Andy thought about it, and his name got mentioned by one of you guys just a couple of minutes ago. And he's probably one man that we've not actually spoke about, or I would say have seen anyone complain about this season, which is a first, given he's been with us for a few years now, and that's Raheem Morris. When you think about it, there's like in the last couple of years, people have complained about him as our defensive coordinator. But this year, no one's really given him much criticism. And I think he deserves a bit of praise because, like you guys are pointing out, got a lot of young guys there on the defense, a lot of guys who, you know, find themselves in positions they probably didn't find them into as him being starters for us. And, you know, Raheem Morris, you know, for he deserves a lot of credit for what he's actually been able to churn out of this defense. And that's not to play down any of the guys, even in weeks where some of the guys, Kendrick, I'm looking at you, haven't had great performances. You know, some of these guys that he's been able to work with, like, you know, we expected to be having teams blowing us out week in, week out. It's one thing you'd said, Andy, I think when we'd done our season preview, that in order for us to win games, it's going to have to be games like the equivalent of the Chiefs Monday Night Football game, absolute blowout. It's just that, like, shootout between the offences, whereas for the most part, it's not what we're seeing. The exception of one or two games, the Cowboys, and I mean, giving up 37 points this week. For the most part, he's got the defense with the guys he's got there. He's got them playing pretty well, all things considered. Would you agree, guys? And would you agree that people are overlooking the job that he's actually doing in defense this year?
100%. 100%. When you think about it, it was only in the last few weeks when we are starting to get interceptions back. You know, those things haven't happened up until last week, up until the Browns game. You know, I can't remember an interception before then. And things are starting to fall into place and you can see them taking those steps forward. And yeah, he deserves, and his team of coaches deserve pats on the back to get for what they've done so far.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's done a good job this season. As much as we've been critical of him in the past of how his defense plays, this year he's looked at who he's got. He's gone, right, okay, this is going to be the scheme. We'll stick to it. He does seem to be keeping things simple, I'd say, for these youngsters. You know, when he's not overtaxing them and he's getting them in the right positions. And, you know, you can't knock the guy this year for what he, as you say, what he has done. You know, and hopefully if he can get a, you know, it makes me excited that if we can get more talent now into this defense, especially into the secondary, another pass rusher, maybe another linebacker to go alongside Ernest Jones, you know, that this defense could actually be, you know, like our Super Bowl winning defense again, you know, fairly quickly.
I think one of the things that I'm a bit worried about now, and 12 months ago, I would definitely have not said this, is losing Raheem Morris now, because I think he's now fully embedded into the team, he's fully settled in, and we're actually now seeing like how good a defensive coach can be. My worry is losing him now, because there's a raft of coaching changes due to happen throughout the NFL. The Chargers are looking like they're going to get a De Staley for one. Belichick's moving on from the Patriots, it looks like, after like God knows how many years he's actually been there. But you get the standard kind of coaches moving around, but there seems like there's going to be quite a number this year that is anyone going to come knocking at the door for Morris? And I hope not, to be honest, because he's doing a really good job with what he's got. And like you said, Andy, we could get another good draft like we had last year and add some more quality, beating free agency or from the draft. He could have a Super Bowl winning defense ready-made next year for us.
I think we may be lucky that we may keep Morris, because the league tends to be more trending now towards offensive-minded head coaches. You know, the likes of, you know, so I think the likes of Ben Johnson for Detroit and a few others are likely to get those jobs before the likes of Raheem Morris. It does seem to be the, like I say, the trend now for the NFL. They want the offensive head coach.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, you've like Detroit now, they've had a good year with an offensive coordinator who's doing, you know, good stuff on the whole for them. You know, they're likely to lose them. They're gonna, you know, much like we've had where coaches or offensive, you know, coordinators keep going every year. You know, someone's signing them every year. You know, so we're rolling through them. You know, teams don't want that anymore. So they want the head coach to be the offensive coordinator as well. So they've got them locked down long term. So they're not losing them and they're not worried too much about getting a defensive mind in. You know, you only have to look at Brandon, you know, the likes of Brandon Staley, you know, how poor that's been. A lot of teams now are being put off. So hopefully for us, Raheem Morris won't get any interviews and he won't get hired. Hopefully. Now, he'll make a lie out of me now and probably get go to New England or something and make us look like a fool. But, you know, well, that tends to be the way.
Wasn't he interviewed last year?
I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember who he interviewed for, but he was interviewed last year and I was like, oh, don't let him go, don't let him go. We need him. But yeah, I think you're right, Andy. I think that everything is more offensive-minded as opposed to defensive-minded. So hopefully we will hold on to him. I do feel that we need an Aaron Donald replacement in the next 2 years.
We've got him. His name's Kobe Turner.
Yeah, you reckon?
Mm-hmm. I've said that a few weeks now. The guy has got all. He's not going to be as great as Aaron Donald, but he is. He's a potential guy who can step in.
Yeah.
No, because you can see a lot of what Aaron Donald does is rubbing off on Kobe Turner, and because AD's getting doubled or triple teamed, basically Turner's able to step up and do what he does.
Well, like this guy getting held constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Aaron Donald's topic there, it looks like he's definitely going to be retired before 2027. He's pretty much said as much today, because he got asked, if you've not heard, folks, that Super Bowl 61 will be at SoFi. Aaron Donald got asked, will it be around to play at the Super Bowl in 2027? And he basically made a remark like, no.
Yeah, but he's going to say that because, you know, he wants to keep these guys on the toes.
I think it's a case of, for him, I think it'll be see how he gets on. You know, if he's still injury free and he's got that hunger, why wouldn't he want to play? I think you look at Andrew Whitworth, you kind of got the feeling that at the end of the Super Bowl, that was it. No matter what happened that season, that was it. He was 40. Everything was taking longer to get over. Aches and pains and all the rest of it, you had to be managed. And I think that for Aaron, I think that it will be definitely that kind of vibe. Am I still enjoying it? Yes. Am I still winning games? Yes. Can my body still cope? Yes. And then he'll make that decision. Hopefully he'll be there in 27. If not, as a coach.
Possibility.
Well, you never know. I'll call it now.
We win the Super Bowl at the Wiener Stadium and then come win it in our own stadium again the year after. There we go.
Back to back.
That would be perfect. Imagine winning it at the Wiener Stadium and then the year after we go back and win it in our own again. That would just to shut them all up. Once and for all. SoFi South, as they like to call it. We'll call theirs SoFi North instead.
Yeah.
That would just be the perfect way to stick two fingers up at the Wieners.
Just before we wrap up the first part of this week's podcast, guys, just having a quick rundown of what happened elsewhere. Did you guys catch any of the games happening elsewhere in the league this week?
Yeah, I caught the Detroit-Chicago game. I did not expect that result in a million years. I don't think anybody did. You know, I think the wheels are, I don't know whether the pressure's getting to Detroit or, you know, what. They just seems the wheels are falling off. Other than that, I'm glad. I was tempted to watch the Minnesota-Las Vegas game. Thank God I didn't, because, you know, that was a snooze fest. 3-0.
God, 3-0.
Dallas-Philly. I was expecting that to be a bit of a closer game than it actually was. You know, Dallas smashed the living daylights out of Philly. You know.
I think Philly are going to reach a point very soon where they're like, they're done. I think they're starting to stumble. Going back to the Lions, like, we had a hiccup in our Super Bowl season in November. We lost 3 or 4 games on the bounce. Mm-hmm. They could be in that zone, and then they could come back stronger.
It's just, you know, their defense does not seem to be playing well, though. It seems to be all over the place at the moment. They can't generate a pass rush. They can't do anything. And they've lost one of their best players on the D-line. It'd be like for us, losing Aaron Donald, and, you know, they've lost McNeil for the year. You know, it just feels like either the pressure's getting to them or the wheels are just starting to fall off a little bit for them. You know?
Yep.
And got Jared Goff's going back to slowly becoming Jared Goofball again with some of his decisions.
The
only thing I wanted to kind of highlight out of the games elsewhere was the Giants-Packers game. And it's not for anything that happened on the field. It was for Tommy DeVito's agent, who seems to have become quite famous. Like, could you not get any more stereotypical as in, like, an Italian New Yorker than Tommy DeVito's agent?
Oh, God,
the gold chain and everything. Like,
I didn't see it, so.
It's indescribable. It's because at first I thought it was basically a piss take. I thought it was an absolute piss take, but no, this guy, like, you know, he's pinstripe suit, all in black, you know, trilby hat on, big massive gold chain, giving it, you know, forget about it. You know,
proper Matthew, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was just gonna say, just sort of imagine Godfather stood next to a quarterback on the football field. You've basically got what it is.
That's it, man. It's like, and he's all over he's just all over the news now. And he was interviewed about it. And like, the guy's taking it, like, he's taking it in his stride and all that. He thinks it's hilarious, but like, everyone's watching it. And I think it was one of the 20 tweets that I said, like, there was tweets joking about, like, I'm putting money on the Giants to win and all that. And like, then people like tweeting about, what business do you think his agent's really in? Is it construction or is it waste management? You know, so many like Sopranos-based like tweets and whatnot. So
Brilliant. That
was that. But so that about does it, folks, for the first part of edition.
I just want to highlight before we go is we had a discussion a few weeks ago. Was it worth signing Tyler Higbee to a long-term contract? I think given Davis Allen's performance, which is something I've actually wanted to see, I feel that we could have let Higbee walk. And I think Davis Allen would be a ready-made, better replacement for Higbee, a younger, fitter, healthier guy. You know, yeah, all right, he had one dropped pass, you know, but overall, I thought he did really well. And potentially, you know, could have been an easy Higgs replacement and probably a better player than what we're probably getting out of Higbee at the moment, because again, the guy can't stay healthy.
Yep.
But yeah, the fourth player I just wanted to highlight on the offense, I thought for his chances did well, you know, and it's something, you know, he had that ability in college and he is starting to show it in the NFL when he's given the chances.
It makes me wonder now what would be the hit for Higbee to go.
I think that although Higbee hasn't been dynamic as he was a couple of years ago, you know, he was reliable catching balls, making scoring touchdowns, moving the ball. I think that because the O-line has struggled so much in the first sort of 6 games, I think because he's been used as a blocker to try and give Matt time and space to launch the ball, I think that he may come into his own in the season. He scored 2 touchdowns against the Cardinals. Things seem to, from that game on, things seem to, with the O-line, has sorted themselves out. Maybe he's not as needed as much as a defined blocker, that he'll be able to do a tight end role. I mean, I know a tight end role is to do blocking, but when he's not doing that, he'll have more chance of moving upfield and moving the chains as opposed to blocking continuously, which is what I think he's been doing.
Yeah, that's my, own,
that's my own personal opinion.
Yeah, I think we could have saved the cash and just give this rookie, because I did like Davis Allen coming out of college, and I was really happy when we drafted the guy. He's got sure hands. He's, you know, quite dynamic as well. So yeah, he was one player I was hoping, you know, we'd see. And I did think when we drafted him, I thought that was Higbee done, dusted. This is his final year, but obviously not. But, you know, I would like to see the guy given more chances, because I do think he'd be a better, he'd fit our offense at the moment better than Higbee does.
Yep. Just having a look at his contract, he's a $6 million hit this year, $11 million hit next year, then $9 million the following. He's with us to 2026 now, when he'll be 34. With the cap space, it makes you wonder whether or not we'll take the hit next year or not on him.
I think we'll see him back next year, and then maybe the year after. If things don't go well, he'll be potentially on the
block. If, like you're saying, if Davis Allen steps up his bubble next year, then definitely.
The problem I've got is, while Higbee's there, Allen's man isn't going to be given the chance, because Higbee's got the role.
And that's what
worries me.
You're paying Higbee as well, so you're going to play him. Yeah. Definitely. But for part one, folks, that wraps up. For anyone who's watching along, stick with us. The whole point of doing this part is because we're breaking down the audio. They'll get released on Spotify, iTunes, and the usual channels. Just bear with us. This is just a temporary break, just so we can cut the episodes to make it more easier for people to listen to than a mega, mega long episode. So just bear with us, folks, and we will continue in a second.